Jesus says to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He was preparing them for a life without his physical presence, something today's Christians can relate to. Thus, Jesus emphasized how his followers were to continue the legacy he was leaving through living a life that he modeled for them and obeying his commandments. But what were the commandments Jesus was referring to?
That's Ashley Rosser, a young leader helping to shape the future of the church. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. This week, we continue our special series on Day One. Here's our host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's speaker.
Thanks, Sherry. Today on Day One, we continue our special series, Inspiring Young Leaders to Shape the Future, produced in association with FTE, the Forum for Theological Exploration. During the season of Easter, we're hearing from five rising church leaders who will help us catch a glimpse of the future of the church while addressing our fears and perhaps challenging our preconceptions. For this fourth program in the series, we're pleased to have with us Ashley Rosser, a second-year Master of Divinity student at Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Ashley earned a bachelor's degree in psychology from Chapman University in Orange, California. For several years, she's been involved in youth ministry as a music ministry coordinator and youth director in United Methodist Churches in California and Minnesota, and an associate campus minister with United Campus Ministry in Fargo, North Dakota. Ashley, welcome.
Thank you.
You're the fourth of five young leaders in this series, young people who are helping to shape the future of the church. You've done a lot of work in youth ministry and a variety of service projects before heading to seminary. But how did you find yourself called to ministry?
It's been a gradual and unfolding calling, I'd say. I grew up in the United Methodist Church, where my mom is the director of music and has been most of my life. So I've been really involved in their children and youth ministry opportunities there, including mission. And so when I was older, I felt myself called to long-term mission, which landed me in the Fargo-Moorhead area. And then while I was there, I felt the call to seminary, which is where I am now. So I'm excited to see where God's leading me after this.
Mm. You were a fellow in FTE's Volunteers Exploring Vocation program. How did that experience help clarify your calling?
It was really great and still is being around so many young adults who have similar passions and callings. So it helps me to reaffirm my own and also provide resources and examples of different ways we can fulfill the call that God has on us.
Hmm. So you are at Candler School of Theology. What are you focusing on in your studies there?
I am doing a lot of the Methodist courses because I'm on the track to become a deacon in the United Methodist Church. And I'm also in the religion and health certificate and taking some human rights courses as well.
Hmm. I understand you also are engaged to another Candler student and you'll be married very soon, apparently. How did that happen?
How did that happen? Well, I'm from Southern California and he is from South Jersey, New Jersey. And we met in North Dakota doing a mission opportunity through Global Ministries of the United Methodist Church. And so we fell in love there, and then we both journeyed down to Candler, and here we are.
Ashley, what models of ministry are you finding yourself drawn to as you go through this process?
I'm drawn to a lot of models that are people-centered and Christ-centered, who are forming deep relationships with each other beyond just gathering once a week or twice a week, but are having and building beloved community and then being able to transfer and extend that community into the community that they're surrounded by.
Mm-hmm. And what role would you say young persons like you have in determining the future of the church? I mean, the church has been around for a while. We're looking at the future. How can you play a role in that, do you think?
I feel like we can play a role as being as active and present now as we will in the future and looking at opportunities to be in leadership of ministry or to serve in ministry right now and to help us grow and equip us for ways we can do that into the future as well.
And how can congregations better support young people like you in exploring and testing your purpose, your call?
I would say mentoring programs where there could be people in the church who can mentor either individuals or groups to help them live out their passions or discern how they can use their passion to live out God's call for love. And I would say providing them with resources and opportunities to live that out now and in the future. Like, I was in the US 2 mission program, and I was pretty unaware of the program until I looked it up on my own. So just having congregations be more aware of opportunities for young adults in that regard and helping to share those opportunities.
So given all this and where you are now and what you hope to do, how do you think the church might look in the future?
I think it's going to look like how we're building it up now. And so whatever we're doing to grow the church and to be faithful as people of God, that'll definitely transfer into how the church manifests itself in the future.
And I would imagine there would be a variety of ways church will be expressed.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're in a transition phase now, so lots of different things are happening and different ways of worshiping and serving.
And I understand you haven't had a whole lot of opportunities to preach, although we'll hear you're very good, but how relevant do you think the preached sermon is today and in the future?
I think it is very relevant. It helps connect our tradition as people of God for what we should be doing now, and it helps remind us of the call that God has for us and is with us. But I think the only way it'll be extremely relevant is if it's an embodied message and if we're living out the messages that we are teaching and preaching within our congregations. Mm.
Well, your sermon today is based on the gospel lesson from John chapter 14. First, would you set the scene for this passage?
So immediately before this text, we have Jesus washing the disciples' feet and predicting that he would be betrayed by one of them. And he also gave them the commandment to love each other as he has loved them, because he would soon be leaving the earth physically. And so he, in our text today, is promising them the Holy Spirit that'll be their advocate and guide the way that he was with them physically on earth to help them continue his ministry.
Would you read the passage for us?
I will. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them.
This is a very reassuring, loving word from Jesus to his stressed-out disciples. How do you think they heard these words?
I would imagine they were both comforted by the message, knowing that they would still have a way to live out and be guided and motivated to live out the ministry that Jesus was doing among them and with them. But I would also think that they would be grieving that their teacher and friend would soon be leaving them.
Ashley, your sermon is entitled Legacy of Love. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me. When I was in elementary school, we had a tradition in which graduating sixth grade students would leave a gift for the incoming sixth grade class. Sometimes they would leave behind a favorite pin with a bright colored feather at the top. Other times they would leave behind words of wisdom for how to survive the sixth grade. But every time they left something that the remaining students could hold on to as they continued on their path towards graduation. They left a legacy. In the text for today, Jesus says to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." His commandments were part of what he was leaving behind for the disciples. They were part of his farewell discourse. Soon, Jesus would no longer be physically with them as they knew him. He was preparing them for a life without his physical presence, something today's Christians can relate to. Thus, Jesus emphasized how his followers were to continue the legacy he was leaving, through living a life that he modeled for them and obeying his commandments. But what were the commandments Jesus was referring to? Earlier in the gospel, Jesus tells his disciples that he is giving them a new commandment, to love one another as he has loved them. He goes on to say that this is how everyone will know that they are his followers, by their love. But what does love really mean? Our society is obsessed with the notion of love. It is in our romantic comedies, showing us that in the end, true love always prevails. It is in our books, which help us to reflect on the different ways we show and receive love. It is in our music, no matter the genre. We even have a holiday dedicated to celebrating love, as if it is the only day all year where showing our love counts most. But what does the Christian faith say about love? Throughout the New Testament, we encounter many definitions and descriptions of love, some mysterious and others more evident. We know that God is love, and that God loves us so much that Jesus, God's only Son, was given to us. We also have the popular descriptors of love that are shared at many weddings. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant. Leviticus even tells us that we should love our neighbors as ourselves, with Jesus claiming it as the second greatest commandment, with our love of God as the first. Yet Jesus' statement, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," does not specify any of these. It only implies that if we love Jesus, we are to love each other, leaving the means of love to our discretion. However, in this text, we can learn more about what love means to Jesus through other parts of the legacy he left the disciples. He said to them, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." Out of Jesus' love for his followers, and for God's love of both Jesus and humanity, an advocate, or helper as it is translated from Greek, would be sent to Jesus' followers. It is also important to note that Jesus said another advocate. Jesus is also an advocate sent by God to the world to reconcile it, to love it, and to draw humanity closer to God through his life, death, and resurrection. Thus, after Jesus was no longer physically with his followers, the Spirit would walk with them and guide them, the way Jesus walked with them and guided them. The Spirit would be with the followers as Jesus was with them. It was as if Jesus knew his followers would need assistance living a life of love as he, the ultimate embodiment of love, did. Luckily, for them and for us, the Spirit they were given would be with them forever. It was with them and within them. The Spirit would be part of his legacy, reminding his followers of his legacy and guiding them as they strove to live into it. So here, to love is to be an advocate, to give oneself for others as Christ gave himself for us and as God gave of Jesus and the Spirit. This definition of love is illuminated throughout the Gospels. We see Jesus loving, advocating, and in ministry with the poor and the marginalized, women, persons with disabilities, lepers, strangers, and the imprisoned. He fed the hungry and healed the sick, and the list goes on. These are all part of his legacy. We are to continue loving our neighbor and seeing them as God sees us all, in word and in deed. This Spirit is still moving among and within us today as we continue Jesus' work of love. We too have not been left alone in the task we are called to as believers. But how are we to live into Jesus' legacy? How do we reflect, live into, and embody love? There are many such stories circulating through our media today. This past February, Atlanta and many other areas of the South experienced weather they were not accustomed to. In Atlanta, where I live, many people ignored the weather forecast, hoping that it would change as it often did. But to their dismay, the forecast was correct, leaving the city immobilized. People were stranded in their vehicles for hours. Children and teachers spent the night at their schools. Children were stranded on their school buses. Parents, families, and friends worried as they waited to hear the news about when they would be reunited with their loved ones. But amidst the chaos, there were beacons of light. Churches, gas stations, stores, and strangers opened their doors for people to eat, stay warm, and get some rest. Other people handed out water and snacks. They were acting as the hands and feet of Christ by showing love to their neighbors. As individuals, we are also advocates within our personal relationships. Making sacrifices out of love for others, forgiving, being forgiven, and working towards reconciliation in our relationships. I have a friend whose ex-husband was behind in his child support payments. He was going to jail for contempt of court because he failed to pay. When her children learned of their father's future, they asked their mother to forgive him so he would not go to jail, and she did. She forgave him for not paying over $100,000 worth of child support. She shared her story with me, saying, "The more I thought about it, the more I realized that I did need to forgive him, for not just the debt, but for leaving me alone with three small children. It was the most freeing thing I have ever done." She also lifted up her children, sharing how her forgiveness was exceeded by them, for they forgave their father for missing out on parts of their life. My friend was an advocate for her children, willing to forgive for the sake of her children and herself. She trusted God and was moved by the Spirit to love, despite how difficult her situation was on her and her family. She was obedient and continued Jesus' legacy. In addition to showing love as individuals, we are to show love as a community of faith. We are to advocate as a church. We are to preach and teach messages of love. We are to advocate through the hospitality we show to those who are most active in the church, towards those who visit once in a while, and towards those who need a warm place to sleep or to receive food. We also show love as a church outside of the church building, being a public witness of God's love. We must strive to dismantle systems that keep people in poverty by advocating for human rights. We must listen to people in the community who are deemed voiceless as we meet them in the community or when they enter our churches. We must journey with persons as they seek to grow deeper in the relationships with God and with their neighbor. We must create disciples of love. While this is ideal, it is not always reality. It is a difficult task, much like embodying love as an individual. The church is made up of diverse people with different passions, schedules, and resources. Yet we strive to come together, bound by our love for God and commitment to Jesus' legacy. Theologian Orlando Costas puts it best in his essay, Evangelism and the Gospel of Salvation, when he says, "That humanity will never achieve a perfect, just, and peaceful world through itself is clearly taught in Scripture. But humanity's search for justice, peace, hope, and solidarity is nevertheless a sign of the coming age which the church must relate to and interpret in the light of the gospel. Humanity's life struggles constitute, therefore, opportunities for the church to show forth and demonstrate prophetically Christ's saving power. This, too, is Christ's loving power." The responsibility can be overwhelming. I'm sure the disciples were overwhelmed by the life they were summoned to live. However, like the disciples, we have the Holy Spirit as our advocate. The times we feel powerless or unequipped for a particular task or for delivering God's message, we too can ask God for the Spirit of truth as Jesus did. This reminds me of one of my favorite hymns by Daniel Iverson. "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me. Mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me." This is our prayer, to be God's vessels of love, not only holding it within us, but pouring it out for others to receive as we receive. Melt me. Work within me to be more loving. Remove aspects of myself that keep me from loving fully, from forgiving, and for asking for forgiveness. Mold me into the person you created me to be. Fill me with your love, compassion, indignation, courage, and wisdom. Use me to continue your ministry of love in the world, working beside others as models, following your example, inspiring the church and the world to create not only a present reality of love, but a future one as well. I recently came across another verse of this hymn that I had not heard before. It is by Michael Boggin and continues the prayer saying, "Spirit of the living God, move among us all. Make us one in heart and mind. Make us one in love. Humble, caring, selfless, sharing. Spirit of the living God, fill our lives with love." A great reminder for how we are to carry ourselves in love. It also reminds us of what Jesus said to the disciples after he told them of the coming of the Holy Spirit, He told them, "On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We are reconciled to God through Christ. Christ is one with God, and we are connected to them, loved by them, equipped by them. The Spirit and Jesus both reside in us, empower us, and equip us. We are one in love with God and with each other. As we are obedient, however, we must also consider the legacy we are creating. What does society consider the Christian presence in our current community, nation, and the world? What is our footprint? Does the world see us as vessels of love, building a present to produce a future of love? Or do they consider our legacy to be something else? As we reflect on the many ways we have shared and received love, may we remember the many ways in which we can still grow in our ability to love until the day when we are united with Christ again. This way, we, like the sixth graders, can leave a legacy of words and actions to equip those who are entering the world behind us. Let us pray. Loving and mysterious God, thank you for loving us so much that you sent advocates to guide us throughout our lives. Thank you for sharing your Son with us, providing an example of the embodiment of love we seek to emulate. Help us to be obedient to your commandments and open to the guidance of the Spirit so that we may continue living your legacy of love for generations to come. Amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me. You. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Now, Ashley Rosser offers some final thoughts on her message today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Ashley, you pointed out that our culture is obsessed with the notion of love, and yet so many people really don't know what love means in its truest sense. But this text in John chapter 14 reveals much about what love means to Jesus, and one of the key aspects of this love is the Father sending another advocate. Would you say more about the role of this advocate, the Spirit, in our lives in relation to love? How do we experience this?
The advocate, I'd say, is what motivates us and guides us and empowers us to live out God's ministry and call. And it gives us the courage when we might be doubting or fearful. And it just helps us to see how we can better love. And I think we could experience this with our emotions if we feel compassionate towards someone or empathetic or feel indignation about something that's happening in our community, ways for us to respond, or even with reason through our morals and where we think something should be done differently or where we would draw the line and just how we would feel we can contribute to making a situation better.
And in turn, you said, for God's people to love is to be an advocate, to give oneself for others as Christ gave himself for us and as God gave of Jesus and the Spirit. That's a powerful concept, and you gave us some wonderful examples of how that can happen, but it can be difficult to serve as an advocate of love sometimes. So how do we build a stronger relationship with God that sets us free to serve God in love?
I think it would depend on the person and the context, but a couple of things. One is through prayer, where you can grow closer to God and be able to better discern how God is calling you and how God wants to use you, and to help you to surrender to God's will and not let your own fears or doubts or your will to hinder you from serving God. And I'd also say scripture would be a helpful resource to see how God has called people throughout history and how he has used them despite their own self thoughts of inadequacy or doubts or situations, to be comforted by the fact that God could still use them and God continues to use them. Mm.
You said in addition to showing love as individuals, we are called to show love as a community of faith, to advocate as a church, to preach and teach messages of love. This too can be challenging and messy. So how can we together in our churches fulfill this call more meaningfully?
I think you would have to be creative in the different things you're doing. If you have a mission statement, reflecting on if you are living it out or how you could better fulfill that mission statement as a community. You could be honest and challenge yourself or go to places outside of your comfort zone or do things outside of your comfort zone. And using other ministries that are being faithful in your eyes to that call, and how, and questioning and asking them how they are doing it and how they think you could better do it, or reflecting on the different ways that you could be more faithful to that call.
Hmm. So we are looking to the future in this series, and you ask us to consider the legacy we are creating now. How can we do that more intentionally?
I think you could reflect daily on the different ways that you are both receiving love and giving love, and reflecting on if there were opportunities where you could have shown love more. And I think also reflecting on how you spend your time or where your resources go, and seeing if they are fulfilling that call to live out love, or if they're not, because usually that is how we see where our priorities are.
Ashley Rosser, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. This special series is produced in association with the Forum for Theological Exploration, online at fteleaders.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.